Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
We're doing the job. You know, we stick to what we're trying to do. Guys are talking to each other, fighting for each other, and figuring it out. You know, I think we just outlast them. We're trying to figure out different matchups. Josh has had it going. Kobe had it going in a second. We figured out how to get Booth going on a couple of their switches, and he was burying them. So it was good.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Zach LaVine.
Yes.
And he suffered a shoulder injury, played through a shoulder injury. Looked like Paolo Banchero kind of hit him at one point.
Awkwardly.
And a couple of times he looked like he was kind of...
He looked uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He still played 36 minutes. Did not shoot well, 2-9.
Yeah.
Only had 11 points. Not what he's typically...
All they needed.
...going to do. But Josh Giddey stepped up and scored 20, hit all four of his threes. Welcome to town, young man. That's a good start that he's off to. He's been pretty good, Mully. I think better early on than I expected him to be in terms of an impact.
I think better than he was early on, even though it's only five games in.
Five games in, though.
He's starting to shoot a little bit.
He's starting to feel a little more confident, and I believe that the Bulls, after five games, I'm not sure many people had him 3-2, and I know it's a small small sample size.
Sorry.
Yes.
He's trying to jump into my Chuck.
Well, I know you like to. You should have come dressed up as Chuck today.
I almost did. And then I realized
that he'd have to dance because Chuck dances after victories. I don't think people expected him to be dancing three times after the first five games. But the Bulls...
Break up the Bulls.
Well, I think Billy Donovan might be too good of a coach for a team that is designed to fail. If they are wanting to protect that draft pick and be one of the 10 worst teams, he might be too good of a coach for that to happen.
They still owe Orlando, the team they beat last night, a draft pick, and... They will have – it's top 10 protected. So if they're not one of the 10 worst teams in the league, which is going to be hard for them to do given how bad the whole conference is, it's going to be hard for them to really – unless they trade everyone.
And how well they're playing. You're right. Unless they trade everyone because this is a team that did this without Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
When Lonzo Ball does play, and it's been limited, but his contributions – have been noticeable, and he is an impact player when he's on the court. So, yeah, right now things are going well for the Bulls, who are playing small a lot. They have, you know, Vooch is, he didn't shoot great last night. The Bulls as a team didn't shoot great last night, but Vooch had quietly 18-14. So,
yeah,
that's a pretty quiet double-double.
That's a nice
He's got four in five games. He's been very productive. They only shot 13-34 from three-point land, but Billy Ball seems to be taking hold, and they're playing well, and they're going deep in the rotation. That pace demands it, but a guy like Io comes through last night again.
Yeah,
this is a fun team to watch.
Yeah, try not to keep falling behind by 20. I don't know what that strategy is.
That's not a good strategy.
But that will... That will get to you at some point.
Do you think they feel more, they start hitting the threes or they start taking more threes when they get down more? More so the other night than last night.
Yeah.
But ideally, you don't want to fall behind double digits, let alone a 20-point deficit to climb out of.
They came roaring back, and then the fourth quarter, what was the statistic? 0 for 24, both teams?
Both teams were combined 0 for 24. Yeah, it was ugly.
What was that?
It was an ugly start to the fourth quarter.
What?
The Magic, one of the more talented young teams in rosters. Yeah. How about seeing Wendell Carter Jr.?
Yes.
On the court for the Magic, the guy who was traded in the Vooch deal, and still... Going strong, he had 14 and 7. He's a guy that is still very young when you look at, I mean, he is 25 years old. 25 years old, and he seems like he's been around forever.
Yeah, he's been around a while now. That was back when Black Panther had just come out. Remember he dressed in that suit?
Draft night, he caused a little bit of a stir.
And he did a, Wakanda Forever thing, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, good memory.
Yeah.
So he is with the Magic. That's a good team. The Bulls needed that victory last night, I think, to feel pretty good about their place in this season early on, because
Well, we thought they weren't going to win a game after the opener. I believe
it was bleak. After one game, it's like, they're going to start 0-5, and it's not going to be pretty because they have the Bucks and the Thunder back to back. They beat the Bucks, then they beat Memphis on the road, and they win last night at home. So here we go, 3-2, and a very good start for Billy Donovan's team.
Two game winning streak.
They won back to back.
We've mentioned the World Series. We talked about the end of that wretched series. Not a good World Series. It certainly didn't live up to the billing. You didn't. Finally, Aaron Judge hit a home run yesterday, but he had been in a slump, pretty much playoff long slump. He did get a big bomb yesterday, but to no avail. Yeah. They that was the biggest comeback in MLB history, the Dodgers coming back from a 5-0 deficit in an elimination game.
In a World Series clinching game.
Yes.
It was the largest five-run comeback, was the largest ever, surpassing the 1925 Game 7.
That was a good one. Do you remember that?
Oh, Pirates. The Pirates were down by four. They came back. So, yeah, I remember that one vaguely.
But I think that what was interesting is that the Yankees lost that game not because the Dodgers were such timely hitter. It was absolute defensive disaster. The fifth inning for the Dodgers
Implosion. Included
two errors
and
a mental error where the pitcher didn't cover first base and Anthony Rizzo picks up the ball and he kind of looks at the base and the guy running.
It was kind of a squibber.
And here's Gerrit Cole pointing at the base.
Like, yeah.
It's over there.
Go there.
Why don't you run over there? And Rizzo looking at him like, why don't you come over and step? Oh, he's already safe.
The look on Rizzo's face was like, do you think it's 2016? I mean,
I don't run anymore.
I don't run that fast anymore.
Yeah, that was rough.
And the Yankees imploded. They made the mental errors. They made the physical errors. And you can't make those kind of errors in a World Series game and expect to win. So here we are, the Dodgers. Two World Series titles in 5 years. This one, no asterisk, no qualification. You don't have to say anything except for they were the best team in baseball and the best team money could buy. $1.4 billion is what they spent last offseason.
Wow.
You get what you pay for. And now, let me ask you this. This is something that I think is easy to understand and accept.
That's almost the Chicago budget. Not quite. Go ahead. No. I'm sorry.
Promise? Okay. When you look at Dave Roberts, he entered this month with his job
on the line
in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Right?
Now he's a two-time champion
and a future Hall of Famer.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you have to be fair here.
Oh, I don't.
2020 matters. 2024 matters more.
2020 doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
If you don't have a ticker tape parade, it doesn't count.
Dave Roberts now has won four pennants. Dave Roberts has more World Series titles than a lot of managers who are already in.
Who are good.
The Hall of Fame. Bobby Cox. Whitey Herzog. Jim Leyland.
Okay.
Those guys are Hall of Fame managers. Dave Roberts is on the way to Cooperstown. Like it or not, and I don't like even admitting it because I think that you could have easily justified moving on from him if they hadn't won the World Series.
Okay.
And now I'm talking about he should be preparing his speech.
If you have one manager for one season, are you taking one of those three guys?
That's a different question.
Are you taking Dave Roberts or is it Will Venable? I just think you need to be fair as you consider it.
Well, you like your willpower. You use that already. You like willpower. I think that of those guys, I'd take Whitey Herzog out of those three.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Leyland is a very, I think he would be second probably.
I'd probably go have a smoke with him.
Yeah, I know. See, that's the thing. Jim Leyland, I don't know that I would want him around that much because the smoke bothers me. Triggers my allergies. But I think it's remarkable for me to think of Dave Roberts in this context. He's a future Hall of Fame manager.
I don't think of him.
You should, though. That's what I'm telling you. You should start looking at him differently.
Hey, well, maybe.
No. He outmanaged Aaron Boone. Didn't take much.
Oh, my God.
He used eight pitchers.
Dustin outmanaged Aaron Boone.
Well,
sorry, buddy.
You knew the bottom was falling out when Aaron Boone brought in Cortez last in game one? Was it game one when to face Freddie Freeman?
Oh boy.
And like what?
This guy hasn't pitched in about
why is he in the game?
7 years. Like, oh, well, he's got this one.
Oh boy.
That was insane. Yeah, no, I don't think it was a World Series that was marked by great managerial decisions. Even if Dave Roberts is going into the Hall of Fame.
He's going into the Hall of Fame. He's never won fewer than 91 games in a full season.
Where has he managed? Okay? And how much is their payroll? Let's just back off with how great he is. You know,
I'm just telling you the facts.
Oh, my God.
These are the facts.
I never thought this would deteriorate into David with his Dave Roberts managerial Hall of Fame presentation.
When you're talking about the Hall of Fame, when you're talking about the World Series, Freddie Freeman stamped his ticket to Cooperstown.
I will not argue with that.
League MVP now, World Series MVP. Yes. And he's got two World Series rings, different franchises, and a great guy.
And he hit 6 homers in a row in World Series games.
And if you're going to mention that, you've got to include the manager who's in charge of everything.
And you mentioned great guy. That really is number one in my Hall of Fame criteria.
It does matter. And also, this is Shohei Ohtani's big moment because even though he was injured and didn't have a World Series to, you know, that's typical of him, he was playing hurt. And I think that he's one of the biggest reasons why they were where they were and had the success they enjoyed.
And the Padres had him down 2-1. Remember that?
Vaguely. Vaguely.
Yeah, I remember.
Did somebody in here pick the Padres?
Maybe someone got a little overexcited about their pitching.
So, if you want to get overexcited about the Padres, I could certainly mention Dave Roberts, who, by the way, to bring it all the way home, you know who Will Venables, one of his best friends in baseball, is?
Don't tell me.
Dave Roberts.
Wow.
They were together in San Diego.
Can I ask you, when is he going to tell us that? Shouldn't we hear from him, like, today?
Could be
tomorrow.
Could be. There was some thought maybe that it would be today if it were between games. I don't know if the White Sox want to do that. I don't know, now that the season is over, they can go today or tomorrow. I would hope they wouldn't bury it on a Friday.
So should they do it next Tuesday?
Yes. No.
Monday we got the Bears playing Sunday.
No. Well, they should do it
Monday afternoon.
They should do it Monday. Don't do it on election day.
Oh, I forgot about the election.
Don't do it on election day.
But then you won't get any coverage Tuesday morning.
Don't do it on NFL trade day.
Well, I don't think they worry about that. I don't think they worry about that. Sox should do it today, actually. They should.
But you're worried about it. You're trying to package up. Who is it? You got Khalil Herbert. You got Davis. And you got Keenan Allen now.
What would you get for all three? Package deal.
The same thing you get for the one.
I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to acknowledge what's out there. Okay? And it's called reality. Okay. Welcome to it.
Yeah. Now, I'd like to live in the stars a little longer, please. I'd like to be in the clouds. Let's get back. We got a ton of people who want to check in. I think it's all Bears related. I don't know why everyone gets caught up in the Bears. Oh, no, wait. Ron is on the south side. He wants to talk about the series. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Boy, I've been waiting to get to you guys. Hey, good morning. So, you know what? As far as Dustin asked about the White Sox, man, I'll wait and see, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose 121 games. I mean, I'm looking for player development. So we'll wait and see. But two things about the World Series. Even though the Dodgers and the Yankees spend all that money, you know what's very interesting? None of us picked them to even go to the World Series, including Bruce. We were Mully, everybody pretty much was on Baltimore and Atlanta. David, you had Philly. Just very interesting. None of us picked
them. That's interesting.
We're not front runners, Ron. That's the thing. Yeah, we're not just front runners.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing, this is the first time in 55 years I did not watch one inning. I cut the radio on, and it played out.
Really?
So I had no interest. But I will say this real quick, was that I was really kind of for a Baltimore Atlanta team. And I know Dodgers have developed players, but I was looking for some of the younger players that have been developed through systems, like the players from Baltimore. Certainly Atlanta has done that, but just for some reason, I didn't buy into it, guys, but that's it. So, just want to have a chance to, talk to you guys this morning.
Thanks, Ron.
I wanted to tell you this. I got a buddy who works with a bunch of guys. They're all Sox fans. they decided to become Baltimore fans because they thought this was their year and they were going to convert. And they now say that the trade for Aloy, the fact that they got Aloy, is what ruined their season.
Wow. That jinx. Oh, wow. Oh, boy. Too much White Sox stink on him.
Every day.
Oh. You're the best, Ron. Thanks. Thank you, buddy.
Ron brings up an interesting point, though, about the Dodgers. We talk about the spending, and obviously you spend over $1 billion in the offseason. You do get what you pay for. But the examples of player development that you can point to, I think you can point to the guys they drafted and developed to use as trade pieces.
Yeah.
And also the guys who they kept and drafted, like Will Smith. He was a first-round pick, right? He's a big part of this. I don't know if you look at him as a big part of this, but he is a big part of this. And then you look at who got the save last night. Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
First-round pick. Drafted, developed. I think 2015 is when he was drafted. They also, Gavin Lux, played a role on this team. So there are examples. Every great championship team, you need both. You need to draft and develop guys that are part of your core, and you need to add from trades and free agent acquisitions.
I mean, this, again, I appreciate what you're saying, and there is a level of truth to it. But this reminds me of the old Brian Cashman argument. Are you really building a team if every time you need something, you can go out and buy anything you want? So when you're sitting there and you got Shohei Ohtani, former MVP, and Freddie Freeman, former MVP, and Mookie Betts, former MVP, can't you develop with that? Isn't it easier to develop a champion by drafting around the best players money can buy?
It's easier, but it doesn't mean to ignore it.
Okay.
You're right. I'll acknowledge that. It is easier to do that when you have the capacity to go out and spend and be able to afford Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani. Yes, no doubt about it. I do like the way, I think they got some smart people in their organization. They draft well, they develop players, and then they use them to add to the mix, to their arsenal.
They you know, the part of the big spending in the offseason was Ohtani, who they gave $750 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of cabbage.
Yeah, but it's deferred.
That's more than Juan Soto it's deferred. Yet. It is deferred.
He only made $2 million this year.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
That's why their payroll is what it is.
He actually lost money this year because his translator was at the casino. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I don't know if he actually showed up at the casino.
What a year for him. He begins it under a cloud of suspicion.
Yeah.
Wondering, will Ohtani be distracted by all this? Oh, yeah, really. He was really distracted. 50-50.
Listen, 50-50 while in his rehab year, right? He wasn't going to be able to play this year. And how can you go get a guy when he's got a shoulder?
And now the world champions are adding to their pitching rotation in the offseason with Ohtani coming back to join it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to bring in our guy, John Heyman. We'll talk to John next. We'll get his take on Will Venable, but really we'll get his take on the World Series. I wonder if John is happy now at home. He's in New York. Obviously, the series is over.
Cancel that flight.
Yes. We'll talk to John Heyman next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to bring in the great man himself. John Heyman joins us. All guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
So, right. I mean, we're just from a baseball perspective, a personal life perspective, you don't have to go back to Los Angeles. Is this a good thing? Were you counting on one more trip out west, or are you exhausted and now you're home and you don't have to get on a plane? It must be good.
It's both. It's been a long postseason between the Mets. I did the Mets at the beginning and then the Yankees. But Yeah, it would have been better for baseball to get six or seven games with these two marquee franchises, but Dodgers just too good.
Dodgers too good. Yankees imploding. Didn't have that on my bingo card, John, but that happened last night. How do you explain that?
Well, I'll say this about the Yankees. They're extremely talented. They hit a lot of home runs, but they're not good fundamentally. You know, I've been watching them all year, and they're just – not good in that area. They're a terrible base running team. I don't know if they're the worst in the majors, but they're among the worst. Defensively, they're not great. Certainly that inning was, beyond how bad they normally are, with Judge dropping an easy fly ball and then not covering first. To me, Rizzo should have been the one. The grounder was close enough to the bag where you just touch, field it and then step on the bag. So I would say it's 70% Rizzo, 30% Cole, not covering that bag. But this team is not good fundamentally, just not good.
I got to tell you, that looked like a bunch of my buddies playing softball. I mean, it was like the ball is fielded and the two guys exchange a look. Like, aren't you going to run? Go step on the base. I can't beat him. Oh my God, it was a moment. Is Rizzo, is that his last moment with the Yankees? That's a tough way to go out.
I would think so. I will say this. He is very, very close to Aaron Judge. And Aaron Judge has a big say in what they do. I mean, Aaron Judge was behind Verdugo. He actually wanted them to sign Benintendi back. Good thing they did not do that.
They can trade for him, John.
He's available again, I guess. Yeah, no, I mean, he was a free agent. He loved Benintendi, wanted him back, and then he wanted them to trade for Verdugo. So, I mean, Aaron Judge, great player. You probably should not rely on the players to decide who the other players are, in my opinion, generally. But he's going to want Rizzo back, I'm sure, because they are best friends at this point.
Wow.
In terms of, the actual team, I think they should move on from Rizzo at this point.
Hard to argue with the idea that Freddie Freeman stamped his ticket to Cooperstown with his Hall of Fame-like performance in this World Series. I wonder where you are on Dave Roberts. I just said earlier that, boy, two World Series titles, you look at the numbers, he's making quite a case to be a Hall of Fame manager.
Absolutely, and he averages 102 wins a year. That's pretty good. I mean, they won the division every year, but that one where San Francisco won 107 games. So I would think so. I think he's terrific. I don't really understand all the criticism, the critiques about him. I mean, he's criticized as much as Aaron Boone is. And in this game, I would say Boone made a couple of mistakes. Should have gone right to Weaver instead of Canely, probably. And then that fifth inning that was just terrible, he never appeared. He never came out, never visited the mound, never settled anybody down. All that disaster happened without him actually doing anything. So I do think they'll pick up Boone's option, and he will be back. That was the way things were going. Going into that game, he got to the World Series. Probably difficult to fire somebody going to the World Series, but he's great in terms of the clubhouse, but not great strategically. Roberts, I think, is outstanding. I mean, I think he's one of the best managers in baseball, and I would agree with you guys. I think he should be a Hall of Famer.
John, I was actually surprised by Juan Soto's answer when asked about whether the Yankees had an advantage for him. I mean, I said to David, like, if the Mets offer a dollar more, he's going there. Like, he sounded like a guy who was like, hey, open bidding, whatever you want, let's go. I mean, wow, that was wild.
That was funny. Speaking of the dollar, I remember when Zach Greinke re-signed with the Dodgers. After he was already there, he told me whoever given him more money, that's where he was going if it was a dollar more. So that's what you just said. It reminded me of that. Zach Greinke, very honest fellow. I think Soto was coached to say what he did say, which was that everybody had the chance, and that's it. And so he went with the script. I think it was tried about eight times on the Yankees, the preference. I don't know whether people were rooting for that answer or whatever, expecting something to change his mind or change the different answer.
But that's the answer. That's the script. He stuck with it, and that's it. Are the Yankees the preference? Will he go somewhere else for a dollar more? I don't think he's that cranky. I don't think it's a dollar, but, he waited this long for free agency. He's going to evaluate everybody. I do think the Mets and the Dodgers have a good chance, and there'll be many, many teams trying from. I heard there are already 8 teams who've called. So we're, less than 24 hours. We're 12 hours after the game, not even 9 hours after the game. And, it's going to be almost a blank check at this point, the way he performed this year.
Well, the White Sox won't be among them. I think we can safely say that. But they do have a new manager. That's not mean. That's just trying to be real. Will Venable is going to be the next White Sox manager, John. What do you know of him? What are people saying about the 42-year-old former player and bench coach to Bruce Bochy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a coup. I mean, he's a guy who turned down the Mets for an interview. He's turned down other teams. He did interview for the White Sox when Grifol got the job. Obviously, they're regretting that or whatever. They were impressed by him at that point. Chris Getz knew him before that. And, he was able to get the guy that he wanted all along. This is the guy that he has been talking up for years. I heard weeks ago that this is the guy that he most preferred. And, he was a finalist for the Marlins, and he stepped in there and said, we want you, and got his man. So I think people think only good things about Will Venable. Of course, he hasn't been a manager yet. I think that will change. Then there'll be a lot of criticism. It's very different being a coach, as everybody loves you when you're a coach. When you're the manager, that's not the case. So it's hard to tell unless somebody's actually done the job. But I think this is the right guy for this team at this time, to get somebody who can grow with the team and has great potential. It was a little surprising because everybody thought he was the heir apparent for Bruce Bochy. Certainly knew Chris Young, his boss in Texas. They played together not only on the baseball team at Princeton, but the basketball team. So it was a little surprising that he turned down the Mets and others, probably last year, San Diego, Cleveland. He probably turned everybody down, and he wants to go to the White Sox. So, I mean, someone might question his taste, but good for the White Sox. I think it's a coup for them.
I asked David this question yesterday, and he got mad at me. I thought it was too early. I'm just curious, what passes for success with the White Sox? If they lose 100 games, that's a huge boost. That's a lot better than they had been. 21 more wins. What does it look like if he's doing a good job? How would we know?
Well, it might take a few years, but you're right. I mean, right. To improve by 21 games to 100 defeats, that's a pretty big improvement. So, I would say that that is correct. 100 loss season will be considered a success.
Manager of the year stuff.
maybe not. Was it Buddy Bell who lost 110 games or something in Detroit and got a manager of the year vote or something because for him enduring this or something like that. I don't know. He was a terrible manager in many places, but he did get that manager of the year vote.
John, got to ask you this before we let you go. Of those 8 teams, what are the chances the Cubs are one of the group that are going to pursue Juan Soto? And if they do they have any realistic chance of landing him?
Well, I'm sure they'll make the call. I mean, I don't know whether they're one of the 8 teams that called already. I probably 12 teams will eventually call, because I think if you're a big market team and you don't at least put your hat in the ring, the fan base is going to go nuts. Are they a realistic team to get him? I doubt it. I mean, I'm just looking at the history, right? The $177 million for Dansby Swanson was really stepping out for them. They are a big market, obviously, big revenue team, certainly a top 10 revenue team. But, do they have the revenues of the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Mets or the Red Sox? Not quite. The Dodgers have a big advantage now. That Ohtani contract is just enormous for them. I mean, it's $70 million a year, but with $68 million a year deferred, the actual value of it is being figured at, by some people at least, around $29 million. So, and they gain many, many times that in sponsorship and marketing money. So he himself is a cash cow for the team. And I think he will allow them to sign anybody they want over the next 9 years if he wants to go. And they will go for him if he wants to go. Now, there was some talk when he was in San Diego. It was uneven. He wanted to be on the East Coast. I mean, all this is speculation. We've been saying he prefers the Yankees, and you heard what he said. Now, is that just a script? What does he really think? You know, I don't know. But he did wait this time. I don't think he's that cranky who will go for the dollar, $1 more, but you know, there is some level at which he will accept a little bit less money to go to a preferred team. But, you know, I don't really think we know who the preferred team is at this point. He's not gonna say anything. He's gonna play it the way his agent Scott Boras wants him to play it. But yeah, as far as the Cubs, I expect them to be in it in terms of making a call. Are they going to really compete with the Yankees, Mets, and Dodgers and go over? I think it's going to go over $600 million. And that's legit, not like Ohtani, $700 million. I'm very doubtful of that. This is my guess.
Great stuff, John. Great season. Thank you for everything. Always a joy. Thanks, John.
Good stuff.
Always a pleasure, guys. All right, we'll see you next year, and hopefully maybe there'll be some good stuff happening in the winter. Maybe I'll be wrong. Who knows? Maybe the Cubs will surprise us.
Maybe the White Sox will wind up with Soto. No, never mind.
Take care.
Thanks, John. God bless you. That's our guy, John Heyman. He does a wonderful job. Great to talk to him. We're going to be right back with Nick Costos. Find out who's going to win the big game tonight. Only in Hall on the Score.
I want winners.
All righty, on the line, it's Mully and Hawn. We have You Better You Bet host, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to You Better You Bet, the podcast. For more analysis, just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcast. Nick, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
How are you? The Yankees lost.
Yeah, well, at least it didn't happen in inexcusable, embarrassing fashion last night.
Wow.
Oh, wait.
Wow, was that a shot?
It was really bad, and no one wants to hear this from a Yankee fan. I understand that, because yeah, I've seen 5 World Series in my lifetime. The last 15 years have been really, really, really tough. Not just losing, but the way that they lose. And I understand, like, no one wants to hear that. I'm just being honest, though. It was tough to lose, and to lose like that is really bad. And I'm sure everyone loved it, so you're welcome.
I almost feel bad for you, other than the fact that your team made it to the World Series and my team had the most historic losing season in the history of the game. So that's tough stuff, Nick. I'm sorry you went through that hell.
I don't know. Well, I know it was a bad regular season for, obviously, maybe the worst for the White Sox. I'll just say, and again, this is just get the world's smallest violin. There's nothing enjoyable about when the Yankees get to the World Series and lose like that. And I know it's, well, your team made it. I get it. I also root for the Giants. I root for the Knicks. I root for the Rangers. The Yankees are the only team where it's like this, where, like, winning is the only acceptable outcome, and that it just is what it is. Like, I was born into this. My grandfather was born in the Bronx. Well, it is what it is.
Let's keep it with New York embarrassments. Jets, Texans tonight. What's the prop bet for that one?
Bet for that one, and, like, they are embarrassing. You're 100% right. Let's go. I think we actually have a great opportunity here. Since the Jets, David, traded for Davante Adams, basically in the prop market, Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams have been lined about the same in terms of yards. And what we've seen in the couple games that both of them have played together, like, I know Davante has the longtime connection with Rodgers, but Garrett Wilson's the better player. And I think it's, like, pretty obvious that Garrett Wilson, with Davante on the wrong side of 30, that Garrett Wilson is, I think, might be the far superior player at this point. So Garrett Wilson's receiving yards prop tonight is 61.5. I love the over tonight on Garrett Wilson, his receiving yards. And if I had to play the game, like, maybe the Jets can win the game. I would never bet the Jets. Like, that's not what I'm looking to do. They did just change kickers, which they needed to do big time. And in a game with the point spread of 1, that might matter. I think teasing Houston, like a 6-point teaser, taking Houston up to +7.5, where I definitely don't think the Jets will blow them out. And there are so many good options to pick with this week. I would go with New Orleans down to -1.5 on the road at Carolina on Sunday with Bryce Young starting. I think that's an easy winner to get the week going.
I'm curious, do you think the Bears win this week? I don't know if you're aware, they lost on the last play of the game.
Is that what happened?
Against Washington. Yeah, it hasn't been very well publicized, but now they kind of need to win, hopefully before the last play of the game, but we'll find out.
I feel like it might be my fault, because I think last week was maybe the first time all season that I actually picked the Bears. I didn't know that they were, like, Shane Waldron thought it was 1985 and Refrigerator Perry was in the backfield. If I had known that, maybe I wouldn't have done it. So the injury report, guys, yesterday for the Bears on defense, like, not great. A couple key players, like, banged up right now for Chicago. If we get to tomorrow when the final injury report comes out and everybody's playing, so, like, Sweat's playing and Gordon's playing and Brisker's playing, etc., I actually think the Bears should be favored in the game. Like, I think the wrong team is favored if that's the case. So I am looking to play the Bears in the game, but I'm not looking to do it until I get more clarity on who's going to play defensively for Chicago, because obviously with Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison, this Cardinals offense is pretty good.
Do you have a thought on Lions-Packers?
Yeah, well, until we know if Jordan Love's going to play, it makes it a little difficult. So I can kind of give you like an if-then, right? So as of right now, Detroit is it's a 3.5-point Detroit favorite, but the juice is towards Green Bay. So we're close to being at Detroit -3. And to me, this isn't what's called like an in-between number, where we don't know who Green Bay's quarterback is going to be. If Jordan Love does play, and he didn't practice yesterday, right? He's got the groin injury. If Jordan Love plays, this will close Detroit favored probably by less than 3. Maybe like Detroit, like a 1.5-point road favorite. If Love does not play, and Malik Willis is the quarterback, I think this closes high as like Detroit -5.5. So I think the number right now is in between what it will be if it's Love or if it's Malik Willis. The way that I would really like to bet this game, I think if you want to bet Green Bay in this game, and I don't know how many Bears fans want to do that, you want to hope Malik Willis plays and the number goes out and gets bet out huge, and maybe you can get like a 6 with Green Bay, and then I would take the points with the Packers. This Lions defense without Aiden Hutchinson is nothing to write home about. Matt LaFleur is a great coach, but it's really hard to give you like a strong betting thought only because like I don't know if Jordan Love's going to play. But if it's Willis and the number gets bet out, I would look to take the points with Green Bay.
So what's your favorite play of the weekend, be it college or the NFL?
Yeah, favorite play of the weekend. I like two bets in the Broncos-Ravens game. Denver in Baltimore this Sunday. I like the over in the game. I do think Baltimore will be able to score, guys, on what's been a pretty good Denver defense thus far this season. And on the flip side, like this Ravens defense is actually like not very good. It is not very good. And Denver's offense very capable of explosive pass plays down the field. And I know that doesn't sound right to people, but if you look up the statistics, they've had a lot of explosive pass plays down the field. So I like the over in Denver and Baltimore. And I think Denver is going to keep this game close, guys. I'll take the points with the Denver Broncos. A couple bonus picks for you. Give me the Raiders +7 on the road in Cincinnati. Antonio Pierce, the patron saint of covering big numbers as an underdog, loves to kick field goals and punt. That helps you cover when you're getting a lot of points as an underdog. And I'm a Giants fan telling you this. The Giants will lose by double digits on Sunday to the Washington Commanders.
Great stuff.
Thanks, Nick.
Have a great weekend.
You got it. Wishing everyone Minimal Sweats Winning Bets the absolute very best of luck. And Mully, I think Manchester United beat Chelsea coming up on Sunday.
Look at you.
With Eric Ten Hag out and the new Portuguese manager coming in, give me Man U to beat Chelsea on Sunday.
Ruud van Nistelrooy, the interim. Jeez. He did great things there. Thank you, Nick. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Feels like pandering.
That was the host of the You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. What is wrong with a man being moved by pandering?
There's nothing wrong with that. I think it was pretty transparent.
It makes me very electable.
I vote for
you. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.